Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. If you have a Bible and are able, turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. This is where we're going to begin this evening. We'll look at several texts of Scripture, but this is where we're going to begin. I want to start by asking you a question before I read our first text. Are you saved? Are you saved? And if you respond yes, why do you say that you're saved? In other words, what do you base that salvation on? Salvation must always be based upon the right object. And one of the responsibilities we have as ministers and as Christians is when someone says they're saved, we have to make sure that it is based on the right object. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, I'm not going to turn you there, but I will tell you about it. Matthew chapter 7, we're told about a group of people, and they're religious people. And one day they'll stand before the Lord. And they say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have we casted out demons? And in your name we've done many wonderful works. And the Lord Jesus will profess unto them, depart from me. Oh, what a horrible thing. Depart from me. To hear that from the Master. For I never knew you, he'll say. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Oh, what a horrible thing, as I've already said, to hear that from the Lord. These people thought they were saved. If you would ask them that same question, if you would ask them the same question that I asked you at the beginning of the broadcast, are you saved? They would have said yes. And if you asked them the reason why that they said they were saved, they would have then give you the reason of being all their wonderful works, all the things that they had done. Their salvation was based upon the wrong thing. In the days of Jesus, there was a religious group by the name of the Pharisees. And if you had asked them, was they saved, they would have told you yes. But the reason why they thought they were saved is the book of Luke says that they trusted in themselves. Jesus told them in the book of Matthew chapter 23 that they would compass land and sea to get one convert into their religion. But it went on to say that when that convert is made, they were made twofold more a child of hell than themselves. So they would have said that they were saved. The Pharisees would have said that they were saved. Matthew 7, the people that stand in judgment and will be casted out because Jesus never knew them. They weren't really saved. They would have said that they were saved. But there's, again, their salvation was based on the wrong thing. Now, my friend, what we're going to do in the broadcast this evening is make sure that your salvation is based on the right object. And we're going to do that by just looking at some text that deals with the message of salvation, which is called the gospel. And the first thing that we want to look at is the gospel power. The gospel power, and it's presented to us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. It says, for as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He preached the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, that men would not be ashamed of it today. And my friend, I'm not ashamed of it either, and I'm just happy and considered to be blessed of the Lord to be able to present the gospel over the radio this evening. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what is the it? The gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16, you can read it. God's salvation message is called the gospel. That's the message Paul preached. But it can't save you unless you believe it. You have to believe it. You have to trust in it. You have to put your confidence in the gospel. If you'd ask me, am I saved? I'd tell you I am saved. And if you'd ask me why, I'd tell you because of the gospel. There was a day and time in my life that I realized I was a sinner, and then by God's grace and mercy, I received the gospel message. And it says here in Romans 1:16, it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes. Believe means to trust it. You put your confidence in it. You put your sole hope of heaven in the message. And then it goes on to say to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means to Jew and Gentile. To every man, that is the only salvation message there is. To the Jew and to the Gentile. Folks, there's not 10 different salvation messages. There's not many different roads to heaven. There is only one gospel. Not 10, 20, or 30. There's only one. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Of course, the gospel message is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a message that is about what he did. And we're going to look at the gospel defined here in just a little bit. And you'll see clearly that the gospel message is a message that talks about, that is a message about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its gospel message is all about Jesus. So Jesus said, I'm the way in John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way. There's only one gospel. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and there says there, there's only one name. Let me see if I can find that text for you. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name, any other person. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. And you know, folks, every nation in the world is under heaven. And every nation under heaven, there's only one name, one message, one gospel by which they can be saved. And that's the gospel message. So Jew and Gentile, both are saved by the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel. Now, before I go any further, back to our opening question, are you saved? And if you say you're saved, why do you say that? I pray that you respond to that by saying, I've received the gospel. I have received the gospel. That indeed is the power of God unto salvation. Well, let's move on now to the gospel defined, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 5 years ago, coming up on 5 years, we began this radio broadcast, and the first message I ever preached on WMM was this message in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, just part of the message tonight, but it was the whole message back then. And this is the gospel defined. There's really not much controversy over going around and saying that the gospel message is God's salvation message. I mean, just about everybody realizes that. The disagreement comes when you begin to define what's contained in the message. Well, folks, 1 Corinthians 15 clearly defines what the gospel message is. The message that is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, he defines for us that message in 1 Corinthians 15. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So this message was the message that he preached at Corinth. This was the message that he preached in Rome. This is the message that he preached in the churches of Galatia. Anywhere he went, he was a missionary. Anywhere he went, this was the message that he delivered. Now, it says that it was also the message that he received. Now, what is unique about the Apostle Paul? Now, a man told me the gospel. There was someone, I'm so thankful for the people that told me the message of the gospel. One of the most precious cards that I ever received from anyone was a man that was in his late 60s, and he had received the gospel. And I had the privilege of sharing that gospel message with him, and he sent me a card that said, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Oh, I'm so thankful for the ones that shared the gospel message with me, and I pray that you're thankful for the people that share the gospel message with you. That's what we need to do, and that's what I'm striving to do tonight in the radio broadcast. Oh, I pray, if you're listening to me, that you have trusted the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. So he said that he received it. But the difference between me and Paul is Paul didn't receive the gospel from man. He received the gospel by revelation. In other words, Jesus gave him the message directly. We have it recorded for us, and we're to spread that message, and we're to give that message to other people. But Jesus received it by revelations. He says in Galatians 1, verse 11, he said, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there wasn't no man that shared with him the gospel. Jesus gave him his gospel message. It was given by revelation. And folks, what's so precious is he records here in 1 Corinthians 15 the message that he received directly from Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you've trusted the right message, then it must be that message that Jesus delivered to Paul. And it's defined for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let's go ahead and look on. First Corinthians 15. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand. So it was a message he preached, it's a message he received, and he said, wherein ye stand? They were standing on the gospel there in Corinth. That's a good, firm foundation. Look at 1 Corinthians says, there's no other foundation that a man can lay than that is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation that can be laid. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. And you must have that foundation, my friend, if you're saved. If you don't have the gospel foundation, my friend, then you're standing on sinking sand. He's the foundation by which you base your salvation on, and it must be based upon him. All right, let's get on in. Let's go ahead and continue with this great text. Look it up and read it for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to you. And you'll see the definition of the gospel. It goes on to say this, by which, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 15, by which ye are saved. You're saved when you receive the gospel. He said he preached it to them. It says that ye have received it, wherein ye stand, by which you're saved. There's a lot of people that know the gospel that have never received the gospel. They've heard it. They've sat in churches and heard it. They've had friends and loved ones tell them about it. They can tell you what it is, but they've never received it. Just knowing the cure doesn't make you whole. You got to trust the cure. You got to take it in. If you had a terminal illness and I had the cure for it, and it was in a pill form, and I set it down on your table and told you to take it, told you that it made others whole, it made others better. But at the same time, if you don't receive it in, my friend, it doesn't make you whole unless you take it in. You have to, by faith, receive the gospel for it to save you. You got to take it in. Let me read on. Verse 2 says, in 1 Corinthians 15, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Some people do indeed believe in vain. They trust the message, or they claim to trust the message, but it's just from the lips, and it's not from the heart. It's a vain belief. Vain belief won't last. And when someone believes in vain, they'll turn away from it in just a period of time. It's an empty belief. It's a head knowledge, but it's not a heart knowledge. Let me read on. Let's get the definition now. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. Again, he says that he received this. It came from Jesus. We showed you in Galatians 1. Christ died for our sins Christ died for our sins. No, he didn't die for his sins because he didn't have any sins. Jesus was perfect. No sin there. And of course, if he wasn't perfect, then we would be without hope. The sacrifice on Calvary, it had to have the death of one that was perfect. Jesus is the only man that ever walked this planet that was perfect. Without sin, outwardly, inwardly, totally perfect. It required a perfect sacrifice. That's why in the Old Testament, whenever they offered the lambs had to be without spot and without blemish, because it pictured the perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who shed his blood on Calvary for our sins. It says Christ died for our sins. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that Christ died for my sins. If not, then I would be hopeless. He died for my sins. And my friend, without Jesus, without you receiving that gospel message, you'll die in your sins. The worst thing that could ever happen to anybody is to die in your sins. Then you pay for your own sins. Let's read on the definition. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures pointed out that he would come and die for our sins. Isaiah 53 prophesies about the coming Messiah. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He did that at Calvary. Verse 4 says of 1 Corinthians 15, he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. My friend, that's the definition of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And by receiving that message is the power of God unto salvation. That is the message by which Jesus saves a sinner. And when I ask you, are you saved? And then I turn around and ask you, if you say yes, the reason why you say you're saved, then my friend, the next word out of your mouth is, I want to hear about the gospel. Because that's the power of God unto salvation. That's the basis of your salvation, is the gospel message. Have you trusted that message? Now, after you receive the gospel, a person is to be baptized. And if you ever come to a baptism at the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, we immerse people. The reason why we do that is because in baptism, you have a picture of the gospel. You'll have somebody above the water, and then you'll immerse them underneath the water, and then you'll bring them up out of the water. And it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In baptism, men and women, boys and girls, those that trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, those that receive the gospel, are publicly declaring by this picture the message that they had received that has saved their soul. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this about the gospel. Verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, certainly Paul did baptize, and one of the church ordinances is baptism. And Jesus in the commission taught in Matthew 28 that after disciples are made, go ye therefore make disciples. After disciples made, they're to be baptized and then they're to be taught as part of the commission. But one of the problems with the church of Corinth is they got caught up in preacher religion, and then they would boast over whose baptism or the man that did their baptism. So that's the reason why he says here, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So I'm sure that what Paul would do is have those that traveled with him to do the baptism so people wouldn't claim, I'm better than you because I was baptized by Paul. But he would have obeyed the commission. But his primary thing was to preach the gospel. You see, baptism is placed over against the gospel. Baptism's not the gospel. No more than the fruit of the vine that's in the cup is literally the blood of Christ. But it is a picture of the blood of Christ, as baptism is a picture of the gospel also. It pictures it. Death, burial, resurrection. Well, that's the gospel defined. That's how the Bible defines the gospel. Romans 1, The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. The gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He said, by which you are saved, which ye have received. And then he defines it. Christ dying for our sins and rising again the third day. My friend, that's the basis of my salvation. That's why I'm saved. If I was taken to the portals of glory and stopped at the gate, so to speak, and they'd say, Jeff Arthur, what right do you have to enter this glorious place? I would say this, Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. My hope is built on nothing less, my friend, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His blood cleansed me and washed me clean from my sin. Now let's move on to the third point. The third point. When you begin to look at in the book of Revelations, one of the things that it shows you is that everyone in heaven is there the same way. Everyone in heaven got there by the gospel message. And we'll call this the gospel's priority. I mean, it is the priority. It's the number one thing the church needs to do is spread the gospel. And in a believer's life, it's the basis of our salvation, as I've already said. But when you look in the book of Revelations, you'll see that everyone in heaven has trusted that message. That is the basis of your salvation. Let me read a few texts here in the book of Revelations to show you what washes your sins away. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Book of Revelations chapter 5, and notice what it says in verse 9. It says, "And they sung a new song," this is in heaven, "and says, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, and hast redeemed us to God, set us free from bondage, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." Now, I want you to notice that. Here's a multitude of people that no man can number. They're standing before the Lord out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And it says that they were redeemed by the blood. The blood of who? The blood of the Lamb. You see the priority of the gospel? You see the priority of it? Everyone in heaven is got there the same way. Every kindred, tongue, and people are get there the same way. Same gospel. Same blood that washes you clean. Revelation 7. Let me read you another text. Here you see a multitude that no man can number again. Revelation 7, verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. No man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're clothed with white robes." Now, folks, what I want to do is show you is how those robes of all this great multitude in heaven, how those robes got white. Revelation 7 and verse 13, it says, "And one of the elders answered and said, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they?" And he said, "Sir, thou knowest these are they which came out of great tribulation." Now, here's what I'm after. Listen to this, folks. "And have washed their robes, and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We sing the song of the church, "What can wash away my sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see the priority of the gospel? Do you see the priority of it? It is the means by which the Lord saves the sinner. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the message by which ye are saved, if ye receive the message. And then I showed you the gospel priority. Everyone in heaven in the book of Revelation is viewed as having been washed clean by the blood. Salvation by the blood is the message of the gospel. My friend, have you trusted that message? Was there a day and a time in your life that you've received it? Is that the foundation that you're standing on? Is that your sole hope of heaven, what Jesus did? You see, it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's Christ dying and rising again. It just deals with the work of Jesus. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life isn't a gift that you, isn't a prize you earn. So many is trying to earn eternal life. You can't earn it. If you could earn it, Jesus would have never had to come 2,000 years ago and go to Calvary and die for your sin. Eternal life's a gift. And you know, folks, eternal life, when you think about it, or if you think about any gift, a gift is something that's been purchased by somebody else. Eternal life was purchased by Jesus Christ at great cost. It costed the death of God's dearly beloved Son. Great cost. Salvation was free, my friend, but it certainly isn't cheap. It was purchased at great cost. Jesus died for our sins, and He rose again the third day. And when you realize you're a sinner and you call upon His name, receive Him, trust Him as your Savior. Put your hope of heaven in what He did, not in what you do, not in church membership, not in your works. Now, folks, doing good works and church membership are important. But, my friend, it's not the basis of your salvation. Remember, if the title of this message is the basis of salvation, the basis of salvation is not what you do. It's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus has done. Have you trusted the gospel? Have you received that precious message? I pray that you have. Let's look at one more thing and we'll close. Let's talk about the gospel perverted. You can pervert the gospel. You can take and add things to it and make it, instead of a message of life, transform it into a message of death. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Paul says, verse 7, 8 and 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, there's only one gospel. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, folks, that's strong language. That pronounces anathema upon those that would preach a different message for salvation other than what Paul preached and received from Jesus as listed in 1 Corinthians 15. So you can see it's very, very serious business to tamper, to mess with the gospel message. That's why the reason for the message tonight. Are you saved? If you are, if you say that you are, I pray that the basis for that salvation is on the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God add His blessings.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.